You're listening to Face Off, episode 38, recorded September 26th, 2009. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we like to talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can view our show notes by going to faceoffshow.com. Again, we want to remind our listeners, too, that we are trying a shorter sort of time slot for the show. For last week and this week, we're doing a half-hour show
instead of our normal hour-long show.
And we're curious what you guys think. You know, our motivation for it was to make it a little easier to handle. You know, so that I find personally that a commitment to an hour-long podcast, I think, is a little difficult. Mm-hmm. And we know that most people that listen to the show are busy programmers that are working hard, anyways. So if we can, you know, make it a little easier for people to take the full show. We thought we'd try and help.
Yep, but we definitely want to know what you think. So if you like the hour, let us know. If you like the half hour better, let us know.
Yeah, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback and give us some thoughts. Hey, Mark, I got a question for you.
It's not one of those awesome programming jokes. Yeah. Is it?
Maybe.
Shoot.
So why do Java programmers have to wear glasses?
Why?
Because they don't see sharp. Oh, nyuk nyuk.
Those are the best jokes ever.
I know. I thought I should be a comedian, and this is confirming it because I am good. Oh, goodness. Okay, so let's get into our web apps. The first one we want to talk about is called GIF Soup. And what GIF Soup is, it's a place to create animated GIFs from YouTube videos. Yeah, so I remember surfing forums and stuff. People would have these amazing animated GIFs, and I was like, I wish I could make those because they're cool. And some of the old tutorials on it were really like, okay, hit play pause to get the next frame,
right?
Screenshot, you know, or some were like go into an application and take the video and you know extract every frame. It just was a pain. Well, what this does is it lets you, you know, you go in, you tell it which YouTube video you want to make a GIF from. It loads up the YouTube video. And then you tell it, you say, okay, from this frame, from this second, you know, 023 to 135, I want to make a GIF. And you hit it, and it just makes the GIF for you.
This is perfect for places like forums and you know, things you want to. You don't do this on the fly.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
find a funny video.
If it's going to take more than 5 minutes to do this, it's not worth it.
But. I made a great video of a linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers, Patrick Willis. He did this tackle on this guy, and he kind of makes like this weird face like, oh, that really hurt, and it knocks over, and I sent it to Mark. I was really excited about it.
It was funny.
Super easy to do. I mean, this is so easy.
So tell me how you would use this. How easy is it for me to create a GIF?
Well, the one thing I think it's missing is it would be nice if it sort of did like visual sliders so you could say from here to here, make the video. So yeah. It doesn't. The way it does now is it loads up literally the YouTube video and you can play it and find which seconds you want to start and which seconds you want to end, which isn't bad.
It sounds like something that they could definitely improve upon fairly easily, though.
Yeah. But the way it is now is it works great and I love it because I love animated GIFs. I mean, I hate to say growing up, but in my teens and stuff, just idolizing the fact that these people were so good at making these awesome GIFs. Mm-hmm. And it was really like a badge of honor. Like if you had a good GIF, I mean, you were too cool for school. So, you know, check it out. I like it. GIF Soup. It's really easy, really fun.
There's some of the latest ones that have been made, and some of them are kind of funny. So
some of them are probably... Well, no, it pulls from YouTube, so they probably have to be fairly safe for work. There's probably not much nudity in them.
Great app.
Yeah. So the next web app that we want to talk about is called How Many People Are in Space Right Now? So if you haven't guessed what this web app does, is it tells you how many people are in space right now.
How many people are in space right now?
Six. There are six.
You know what would be cool is if it listed their names and stuff.
They're all on the... Well,
this is a simple web app.
It's very simple, but very cool. I love space. When we're all kids, we want to be astronauts, you know?
They have an RSS feed?
Yeah, so if it changes.
Now there are now five people in space.
Are there?
No, I mean, like, no, like, if it just changed...
You had me scared. Well, I bet it jumps dramatically when, like, they do a Columbia mission or something like that.
Cool.
But, you know, it's really simple. I just thought it's done by NASA, I believe. I saw NASA loading some stuff in the background. So, you know, again, when we're kids, we all want to be astronauts. And I've been thinking about going into space and how cool it would be. I think I might go on one of those, like, like those giant sine wave planes, you know, that fly in, like, the big sine wave that, you know, the
weightlessness.
Yeah. I watched.
Those are pretty cool.
There's a video of Penn Jillette when he went on that, and he actually gets naked in this zero G plane. It's ridiculous. Those magicians, silly, silly men. Check it out. As I say, as always, a lot. So I'm cutting down on it. If you have news or follow-up or a web app that you want us to talk about, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know, and we would love to talk about it.
All right, so those are quick little easy web apps. Let's get into our big topic.
I'm just happy that I will always know how many people are in space.
Are you going to put that in your RSS?
That makes me very comfortable. It doesn't make me very nervous at all. Oh, God.
Are you going to put that in your RSS reader?
Subscribe to that? No, I'll probably put it in my Google homepage. Nice. So I know at a glance. Six. Okay. Whew, good.
That's cool. There's six people out in space right now.
Yeah. And usually, like, when they go up in the International Space Station, it's for, you know, a fairly extended period of time. I mean, that would be crazy. Got to watch your bone density, though, in space.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of Pete, let's move on.
101 5-minute fixes to incrementally improve your sight.
So we're going to talk about all 101 in this voice. Number one. No. We're gonna skim through it and kind of find the best ones that we think. This is a great article. We definitely suggest you check the link out in the show notes and read them all, but... the first chunk, copywriting. There are a lot of things that you can do to make...
You know, I just noticed they have articles on how to do every one of these two.
Wow.
So this is a very... You're going to want to go to this article and check some of these out.
Yeah, if you really want to improve your stuff, you're going to go and do every single one of these because they tell you how.
So the first one that caught my eye is make the most highly trafficked pages easier to scan. Now, you know, we talk about this all the time. People on the internet have a very short attention span. They're not reading word for word. They're scanning.
Yeah. Scannable content. We've talked about this all the time. Yeah,
if you want to see it for yourself, go get Clicktail, install it on your site, and you will see people scrolling as fast as they can scroll.
Yeah. Yeah. Another really interesting one is tell visitors what to do. It's really funny. We were talking about this with the show. You know, for example, instead of being like, if you would like to tell us about something, it's amazing if you could be more direct how people will do this. Like you, go suggest a web app for us to look at.
Yes.
Now, we'll wait.
Make headlines meaningful. Yeah, I mean, they're the biggest words on the page. It's what most people are going to see.
For both definitely, SEO and reading. Definitely. I mean, that's important.
This is different. Repeat yourself. They're saying make sure you drive your point home. Make sure they understand whatever you're trying to say. Make sure you repeat yourself and say it enough times that they actually get it.
Yeah, I mean, we try not to be redundant, but sometimes we should. I mean, that, especially in the era of scanning content. Yep. I mean, if you repeat it, then that might be the one message that actually sinks in.
Mm-hmm. Stay simple, stay concise. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, people are scanning, they have short time.
Yep, definitely. I mean, that's why one reason we decided to cut the show down to a half an hour for 2 weeks to try out. People are busy. I mean, there's such a deluge of content out there anymore. It's hard to keep track of it. And the truth is we decided that we didn't want to be stingy with our listeners' time. I mean, maybe we are, maybe we aren't, but, you know, assuming that you have an hour to listen to this entire show maybe is kind of selfish of us.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know. The next section, usability.
Add a short about page. Yeah, definitely. You know, anytime you can put a person behind a website or a company or a service, like, you know, we talked about the Less Accounting guys. They had a you know, an awesome about page.
You feel like you know them. You've seen, they have like personal blogs where they post, you know, YouTube videos of them working on stuff that are just silly. And the truth is, I mean, I feel like I have a sort of personal connection with them, even though I absolutely don't.
Make your navigation consistent, definitely. If you're changing stuff around, people are going to be like going nuts. Where's that link?
Yeah.
I want back.
Where am I at? I'm stuck. It's like the old person, you know, I've fallen and I can't get up. I'm four pages deep in a website and I can't get back. So, yeah, keep your navigation consistent.
Use underlined link text. We talked about this last episode, actually. Some people, you know, with colorblind people and... You know, I mean, I don't have a problem distinguishing a link if it's a different color, but there are people out there that do. And so generally you should use an underlined link.
For absolutely. Your text. Absolutely. I want to talk about number 27. Link the site logo to the homepage.
Yes.
Everybody must do this. It is the home link on your website. If you put home in your navigation, I don't care in any way, shape, or form because I click on your logo to go to the homepage mm-hmm. every time. Make sure you do that.
Yep. Here's a good one, too. Never ask for more information than you need. You know, I don't want to spend all day filling out forms. If you don't need some of this information, if it's absolutely not critical, just get the minimal stuff, you know, to get signed up.
Absolutely.
And then ask me stuff later as you actually need it.
Yeah. You know? Oh, totally. I agree completely. Oh.
Have a text-based sitemap,
customize your error page.
Yeah,
it's really easy to do. It can be really helpful. I haven't done this. I need to do this. Tell you what, I say that way too much on the show. I need to start doing some of this stuff.
If you're going to do the customized error page, you might as well do the custom. The Google's got a special thing for you. It'll actually put search results inside the custom page that are like what you were
searching. I know.
Definitely do that. Great. Use plenty of contrast.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, I mean, I've seen, we talked about this again, Montana Fragfest. You told me one day, you're like, man, it's kind of hard to read with that background. The background with the WordPress theme I use had kind of this gray and white stripe. And to me, I never thought it was hard to read. But once you pointed it out, I thought, well, I'm going to take it off and see what happens. And I took it off and I was like, wow, this is a lot easier to read because it created a much bigger contrast between the text and the background.
When the user is buried in four pages and they've lost and they can't find their way back, definitely make a search box. You know, add a search box at the top so they can figure out where they're going.
Yeah, I'm four pages deep and can't get out. I'm telling you.
Ask for feedback. Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of these sites now having the little tab on the left or right side. Yep.
With like get satisfaction or user voice.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's easier than ever to get feedback from people. And we've actually had a couple bits of feedback on our get satisfaction thing. So it does work. It's fairly useful because it's nice to have a general feedback page. If you have a blog or a podcast, you tend to have comments on each episode, but there's often not a generic place to just leave generic feedback about the entire thing. Mm-hmm. So make sure you do it.
Another one is, you know, go through and find any opportunities to make internal links. You know, like if you don't say, oh, go to our sign up page and sign up, actually make that sentence or that piece of word, the sign up, to actually go to the sign up page.
Absolutely.
If you talk about something and you have an opportunity to make an internal link, do it.
You know, this is funny. We had an argument. And so one of the things we were trying to do was we went to like MSNBC or MSN and Yahoo, and we tried to find external links, and it is hard. Those places have internal linking down to a science.
Yeah,
I mean, MSN, they never link outside at all.
If they have an opportunity to link to their own content, they're gonna do it.
Yeah, it's great. Definitely. They know how to do it. It's nuts.
Links also, any of the keywords inside the links and things, it helps Google figure out what the page is about by what you're linking to it from.
Totally.
And so for SEO reasons as well, internal links are always good, and it helps your user navigate around.
So speaking of SEO, that's the next little chunk. What are some of the good things? I mean, we talk about SEO a lot. You really like search engine optimization. You went into like an SEO cave for about 2 months and dove into it deeper than anyone I know anyways.
Yeah. Well, there was a time, and I can remember the time, where Google treated underscores as Just another character where they treated hyphens as if they were like a space.
Oh, okay.
So this first tip is to replace hyphens, or I mean underscores, with hyphens. And so like, so if you're separating words with an underscore, like in a URL, mm-hmm. Like if you have your, in fact, this article here says, you know, 101 hyphen web hyphen sites, you know, it's like a space.
Yeah, totally.
Where you can't have a space in a URL. And so that's what they do. I'm pretty sure Google recognizes underscores as spaces now, but
be safe.
Why not? I mean, it looks more like you're spacing a word. Underscore is not usually used.
Yeah, well, I mean, underscore looks like a space, but it's also it's not a normal character that the average person uses on a day to day basis.
Where a hyphen.
Hyphen is. I mean, you use hyphens quite a bit. Another one to remember is to implement 301s to consolidate PageRank. We've talked about this a lot. Mm-hmm. If you move anything at all, make sure you 301 that so you get the benefits of that old page's PageRank into your new content.
And also 301 your non-www to your www, or the other way around, whatever one you decide to do, yep. Redirect the old one.
Because not only are you splitting your PageRank between that content, but you're also going to get penalized for having duplicate content.
Yeah, and you can also go into the Google Web Tools, and tell Google which one you prefer. But you know, 301 is a good way to do it too for the other search engines as well.
Definitely.
Now Google doesn't use meta descriptions, but you should have them for other search engines and have them dynamic. Don't say the same thing in every page in your meta. You know, if this page is about something else, you know, have that in
totally.
There.
The truth is I've ignored them in most web projects I've done in the future.
When most people are using Google, you don't have to worry, because Google's flat out come out and said we don't use meta tags at all.
Yeah, actually, well, yeah, they officially just 100% announced it. Mm-hmm. Matt Cutts was talking about that last week. Officially, they said we don't use meta tags at all. So
well, I think the new Chrome in IE thing is a meta tag, so they're using certain types of meta tags, I think, but not these.
The search
types.
Engine still ignores it,
right?
I mean, maybe that's a benefit. Maybe that allows you to do more goofy things, like you can hack more specific things in your meta tag without worrying about being penalized in a search engine.
Well, I think there's different apps and things that use the meta tags, so you might as well have them there.
Yep, so. Definitely.
Use heading tags. Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna have a heading in an article or a post or as part of your website, definitely make it an H1, 2, 3. Don't just make it a definitely. Big, huge paragraph text.
Absolutely. Give pages real names. You know, for example, if your page is about red widgets, its file name should be, if you're using file names for HTML, but its address should have red and widgets in it. A lot of times, people, especially with things like Rails, you'll see the URL is like, you know, /something/something/1, because the ID is sort of default. Well, that ID gives you it's of no use in SEO at all. So, you know, put what is actually in the page in the route.
Yeah. This one, now we talked about hosts in episode 29. You know, you got to have a good web host. I'm not sure that this is a 5-minute fix, but you should definitely have a good web host.
Definitely.
Check out your options on that. Make sure your site's not going down. Create a robots text file.
Definitely. Ditch registration. You know, if you don't need to, why force people to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do that with our show. You know, it sounds good at first. You go, well, I want people to register so I can have a community. But then you're going to get way less comments because, you know, what about that random guy who's using StumbleUpon or Google who finds your website and wants to leave a comment? He's not interested in becoming a community member. He just wants to comment, which is very helpful to you. If it's a good comment, it's helpful to you whether or not they register.
Make sure that your domain is brandable. I mean, we talked about sites like Domainer.
Yeah.
It's like if you can't say it and the person gets how to spell it, it could be bad.
Exactly. Yeah, there's going to be some troubles.
I remember not going to Delicious because it was always like how many characters and a period. Remember, because it used to be DEL period.
Yeah. Know? Oh, Delicious. Yeah, I can never.
I was like, screw it. I'll go to Reddit or something.
Totally. So, I did not use Delicious for the longest time until finally I just realized that you could go to delicious.com.
Yeah.
Because I could never, it's like DL or same with the Scriptaculous, you know, all those alias ones.
Yeah, there was a time where they were really popular to do that.
And it was a pain. That's when I had to bookmark them like crazy. I don't know what this has to do with SEO, but it says turn off music. And I agree with this 100%. no sound should come out of my computer without me clicking telling it to make a sound.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I don't care. Absolutely not.
Ditch frames. Yeah.
Yes. And fix broken links. Sign up for the Google Web Webmaster Toolkit. It'll go through and tell you any link to your website that is broken or mm-hmm. link in your website that's broken. Fix them.
Yeah, there's a W3 has a I think it's written in PHP, a script that'll go in and check. No, it's probably not PHP. Anyways, it goes through and it'll check links for you. You can do it internally, so you didn't want to, if you didn't want to hammer your host, like if you had thousands of pages, you want to check for broken links. You can also use the webmaster tools to see what Google's crawling and finding broken.
Well, that's the best part is because Google's going to crawl your website anyways.
True.
So that's why I would use it. But again, if you want to do it, let's say you want to do it before you release it to the public.
That's when I used it. Totally. The last project
absolutely makes sense.
Before we do, this is a big one. Avoid resizing the user's window. Oh, don't do that.
Man. Kill you. I hate that. Now I'm mad. I can't finish the podcast. I'm so mad.
I'm definitely mad. I don't understand why that's in search engine optimization, but.
That's a weird sort of category for it. But
stop doing that.
Okay. Next chunk, accessibility. We talk about this. It gets ignored a lot by smaller people, smaller businesses and stuff, but you and I try and think about it a little bit, but you know, you have to make sure your website is accessible to people who may have accessibility software or just in general, you know, have, you know, visual disorders. They can't see well. It's tough. You know, don't screw them over. I don't know if this is in the list, but I know one thing that allows a really, yes, it is right here. Allow text resizing. You know, could do Control++ on your website and see what happens. Firefox has gotten a lot better about it. It does true zooming in mm-hmm. instead of what it used to do was just increase the text and the images and stuff would stay the same. But give it a shot. Increase the text size and see what happens if your website breaks horrendously or if it is actually very usable. Now that I've used a netbook and my old laptop had a really, really high resolution for its size, I had to resize text a lot because I don't have the greatest eyes. And so I became very aware of this. This is why using EMs are really nice because it kind of helps, if you're using EMs, things resize proportionally.
Yeah. Make sure your spacer images, be careful when you're using them. If you're going to use them, make sure that they're specified as being empty. You know, like if somebody's using a screen reader, and there's supposed to be an image there, and you know.
Absolutely. Make sure you remove text from images. A lot of times, because people can't get the typography they want, they'll use an image for text. Avoid it if you can, but if you aren't, make sure you have an alt and a title set in the tag so that alt actually means an alternative to the image for people with accessibility software.
Yeah, and on that same note, make sure that, you know, if you have any JavaScript links, make sure you also have an alternative to that same link that's not in JavaScript, because it says that most browsers that for the disabled do not support JavaScript.
So. Yeah, totally. It makes sense. Add titles to your links.
Yep.
That's just an important one. I would say that I thought that was more of an SEO thing than an accessibility one, to be honest with you.
I think the titles get narrated when it's link hovered over in a screen reader. And I think that's why it would be an accessibility thing.
I see. That makes sense.
Define keyboard shortcuts. I am a keyboard user.
Yeah, but again, sometimes a website like Google who defines keyboard shortcuts within their page can screw up your default browser keyboard shortcuts, which can make things a hassle.
I have a side note. Why does Flash always take over my browser?
I don't know.
Control T especially.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Control T.
When Flash is there and you hit Control T to open a new tab, it never works. Or control or Alt D to go to the. Absolutely, I agree with you completely.
Unless you say take over my shortcuts right now.
Yeah, it's not. It's in no way following sort of the standards of a browser. We were talking about this at work. Someone mentioned, they're like, well, should we look into doing Flex for all our user interfaces? And my argument was that it breaks things like that. I mean, accessibility-wise, it's very difficult with Flash. And also, you know, things like if you're a user used to the back buttons don't work in Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't a fan of it. But I agree, until it can learn to play nice with those sort of things, I don't want it. And I don't want it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. This one I've just always been doing now, especially when using HAML, is set a document type.
Yeah. thank goodness for HAML, because it's
so easy.
Or, you know, actually this week I was looking at some HTML5 stuff, mm-hmm. which is, do you know what the doc type for HTML5 is? It's exclamation point capital doc type HTML.
No way.
How awesome is that? Doesn't that just make you happy?
There's no different versions or anything?
Nope.
That's cool.
I know. And I think that's why it's taking so long to come out is because they're really making it, trying to make it a definite spec so that you can do that without like revisions for screw ups and stuff like that.
I just hope that all the browser, like I don't want, as a web developer, here's the ultimate goal is I can just make one design and it works everywhere. That's what I want.
That's your target for your life goal.
That's the life goal
for web developer. Oh, goodness.
All right.
Next chunk is design. We talk about design a lot. First one that I noticed that I like is lose the splash page. Kids, earmuffs, I effing hate splash pages.
Are you talking about like the ads where it's like click here to skip?
Well,
the
those
ad?
Are the absolutely the worst. They're like, this is a welcome page. And you're like, you're welcoming me by not showing me your content. That's bull. Don't call it a welcome page. Just say this is an ad before I show you stuff. That makes me mad. But just in general, even any, you know, it was really popular for a while, like to have the flash splash page, you know, like, boom, my company is cool, swooshies and stuff. Yeah. It's just not cool.
I see one here that we miss on the accessibility thing. Create meaningful page titles.
Oh, always absolutely.
I mean, that should be in both the SEO and the accessibility.
Absolutely.
Nick's banners.
Yes.
Yeah.
they'll be ignored. Absolutely. People will not pay attention to them. Create a tagline. You know, I think this is great. You know, I've been trying to do this with like Montana Fragfest. We do it with Face Off Show. Mm-hmm. You know, your face-to-face web technology podcast.
Yeah.
I think those are great. They just help people reinforce you know, and make yourself more identifiable.
Design small, you know, make the page load fast. I don't know. I guess it depends. Some sites, it's, you know, expected to be full of graphics and a lot of eye candy, and you just have to have images. But sometimes, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you can get away with it, design.
Don't get crazy. Don't get crazy. You don't have to. I mean, it just, yeah. Just because you can does not mean you should, is the golden rule.
Ditch frames.
Absolutely. I hate that.
We've already said that, but I got to say it again because
I want to reiterate.
Ditch them.
Yeah. Add functional links to the footer. Really use the footer. You know, your privacy policy, contact information. Those are great things to put in the footer for really small. People are just used to kind of looking down there for that sort of thing, and they will. For example, the links at the footer of jaderobbins.com are extremely useful. Mm-hmm. Extremely.
Yeah, definitely. It should be H1s. Limit each page to one topic. You know, I'll give you a site that doesn't do this. It's GoDaddy. They got stuff all over that.
Oh,
page.
My goodness. It's terrible. I'm glad that I only have to go there once a year to renew my domains. Because if
it's
I had to
be
go,
the worst like design site on the internet.
Man, it is so crazy. You never know what's going on. It takes you 10 minutes to get where you want to. And then once you do, you're like, okay, don't do anything. Because all I want to do is renew my domains and get out of here.
Don't accidentally check a checkbox.
Yeah, then it's like, you want this protection on? And you're like, no, I just want...
Do you want a cup of coffee with your...
In 1 week, I want my web address to continue to work the way it has in the past.
They try to tack on some of these stuff. It's like, do you want a cup of coffee with your domain? Do you like a frisbee, free frisbee with that?
Yes. Like, give me
leave
frisbee.
Leave me alone, please. So...
Standardized link colors, that's very important.
Yeah, reduce your graphics. I mean, sometimes you can actually get away with using like background colors with CSS to make the same looking graphic that you had in place there.
Absolutely.
I find that all the time. So, all
right, the next chunk we want to talk about is legal stuff, and this is always fun. I love lawyers.
Well, you should probably have a privacy policy. We talked about an app in it's like two episodes ago that generated a privacy in terms of use for you. I mean,
we'll link to them in the show notes.
At a bare minimum, go check one of those out.
Definitely. I mean, it's just bare bones one at least, and it'll give you a lot more legal protections in case something happened.
Here's a good one. Legitimize images. If you're going to put like stock images and stuff, go to Flickr and do Creative Commons images and then link back to the author.
Or if you really, 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 really want to use it, or contact the author and say, hey, how much for me to use this website?
Exactly.
You know, if I'm using it in one article, they probably won't charge you much, you know, assuming they agree with your sort of values. But if you're using it in, you know, a big communication, pay them accordingly if you really like it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The main point is don't go to Google Images and just pull a random image and put it
absolutely.
In your site. It's not cool.
Yeah, I would just say don't use... I hate these stock image websites. They... they're just terrible, and they're all over the place. And I feel like it's a creative cop out, really. Mm-hmm. To, you know, especially when we're in the age of, you know, so like social media, where there is just gorgeous images taken by average Joes all across mm-hmm. Flickr. You know, I mean, just get creative with it.
Form a legal entity. If you know, if you got a web app and you're accepting payments and things, you probably should be a company.
Yeah, I guess even if you're not paying, you try and get your LLC. You never know. If you forget your privacy policy and someone sues you, if you have an LLC, you have a corporate umbrella that will stop you from having personal liability on this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important.
You know, you may own your domain, but if that domain, I mean, you also might want to get that trademark as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Update your privacy policy. You know, we talked about getting one, but also if you're changing your business the way it happens, do it. Another one, pay taxes. If you're making money, pay taxes.
Here's one that I didn't think about, but it's interesting, is store a website cache. I mean, if there's ever a dispute on copyright issues or if you want to dispute anything, you have like an old archived copy of it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. We have lots of ways for people to do that. For example, you and I kind of co-worked out a system using Duplicity and Cron in Linux to do things, and you could do the same with your database so that you could get a website and database backup at the same time mm-hmm. that is encrypted and traversed through the internet, encrypted and automated, which is the most important part.
Yep.
So those are, they're not the full 101, but some important things, some easy 5-minute fixes to incrementally improve your website. You know, once a lot of times we think that the hard work is getting it done for the first time, and it is. It's not easy, folks. Mm-hmm. I know this, but once it's done, don't just abandon it, because if you don't, you'll be like me going, man, I need to do this, and my website is really, it's like a car. You know, when you get your car, it's nice and new. But if you don't do these little incremental fixes, you know, after a couple of years, it's looking like a hunk of junk with a broken passenger seat and, you know, broken shocks and stuff. So take care of it. Take care of your stuff. Incrementally fix it. That wraps it up for this episode of Face Off Show. I want to remind you guys, you can subscribe to the show by going to faceoffshow.com/subscribe. And if you want to leave feedback for the show in any way possible, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know. We're trying this 30-minute time frame for the show instead of an hour. So let us know what you think. If you guys like it, we would love to hear from you. And we will see you guys next week.